Going to have our first Bible reading now, and Beryl's going to read it to us. And essentially, it covers, in a nutshell, the whole of the journey from the beginning in Antioch, in the end of Turkey, where the finger of Cyprus taught, to all the way through Turkey up to Troas. So thank you very much. And apologies, because I didn't realise that until a day or two, because you've got all of the names of the different places that they went to pronounce. And thank you very much for taking this on. I didn't realise that it was going to be like that, but off you go. At least it's a fairly short reading. You know, the other one's a bit longer, but over to you.
So the reading is from Acts 15, starting at verse 36 and then quickly going to 39 to 41. Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, and strengthening the churches. Then to 16 and verse 6. Paul and his companions travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from teaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days.
Great. So we're going to have a look now at that first part of the journey, the westbound part of their second missionary journey. And on the first part of this talk, because we're going to have it divided into two talks, we're going to look at the part from Antioch to Troas. So the Troas was where they hit on the sea, and at the moment didn't know what to do because they couldn't go any further across that. So this part of the talk is going to look, it's going to look at a map. Do you like maps? Yes. Well, I've always been interested in the missionary journeys because when I was a kid, I loved geography for some strange reason. And when I was studying RE at school later on, they did Paul's missionary journeys, and I was fascinated by them. Now, just to get the map clear then, the bottom half of that map is the Mediterranean, okay? And at the bottom right, you see Israel, Jerusalem right at the bottom right. And going up that until the top right, where this, the finger of Cyprus is pointing to, that is Antioch. And then the little line there goes all the way through the middle of Turkey until it reaches the Aegean Sea. And then across there at the top right, you've got Greece. Is that okay? Well, we're going to see that in much more detail in a minute, but that's just a kind of outline of what it was. And God showed his guidance in the way that Beryl's read in a very, very clear way. And this is how he showed his guidance on this part of the missionary journey through what is now Turkey. What did they have? They had closed doors. They had no entries and they had dead ends. What sort of guidance is that? They must have been thinking, what on earth is going on here? Let's have a little look about that, see how it happened. They started there in Antioch, and they were going simply, as you heard from the first reading and from last week, to go and go around the churches that they visited on the first missionary journey and see how they were doing. So it was a kind of almost a pastoral visit, make sure they're doing okay. So that's not a bad idea, is it? So that's what they were going to do when they started off. So they took about a week's luggage with them or something like that. And we see there that they travelled through Syria and Cilicia, encouraging the churches. So that was the mission that they wanted to do on this second visit to those areas. And that was the area where their first mission was. And that was it, really. But then they had a think. They thought, well, standing still is not an option. We're only visiting this group of churches. We're not here permanently. So we don't want to stand still. We need to do something. But the answer was not back. For some reason, they thought, we don't want to just go back. We've only been here for a little while, encouraging them. Surely we can do more than this, Paul and Silas said to each other. So not back is one of the ways that God said no to them. Because their original idea was just to visit the churches, then go back home again to Antioch. But God's guidance said, not back. Okay. Where else can we go, they said. So if you're Paul and Silas, you'd imagine what is now Turkey, and you'd say, what are the biggest cities and the most potentially fruitful places to be a missionary in? And the first one they thought of was the biggest one in that area, which was Ephesus. And that was in the province of Asia at that time, on the south coast of Turkey. But it said the Holy Spirit would not let them preach in Asia. What sort of guidance is that when the Holy Spirit says, no, you can't go there? How very, very weird. But the reason is that it was not yet. Do you remember that missionary journey? It was a round trip, and later on they would come back, and where would they go? Ephesus. They spent quite a lot of time there, and it was a big place for Paul. But now God says, no, not yet. You're not going to go there yet. You found God saying that to you at any time? Not yet. And yet it turns up a bit later. So not back, not yet. So they looked at the other side of the coast, on the north coast of Turkey, and say, well, how about we go there? Because northern Turkey, it's got an awful lot of groups of people, a lot of small cities on there. That would be the best way to go now if we can't go to Ephesus. Guess what? They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. That's yet another no. And the reason why, it was not you. Because somebody else is going to evangelize there. And if you look in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, what does it say? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's people who are scattered like foreigners in, guess where? Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, particularly the top, the northern part of Turkey. So it's not you. And God said, no, we don't want you to go there because somebody else is going to do that. You don't have to do that. Right. So where else is there to go? They can't go east, they can't go south, they can't go north. So what's left to go? West. So they continued along their way through Turkey. But God didn't tell them where to go. It was the only road that was left to them. And in those days, there was a big Roman road going all the way through the middle of Turkey that ended up at the Aegean Sea at the port of Troas. But they didn't know. They were only going there because they were not being guided anywhere else. They just kind of kept on and on. And it was quite a long journey, really. It was the longest bit of the journey so far. So you could say they were not sure. However, they were sure when they came to a stop, because what they found was they were at the seaside. So they couldn't go on anymore, they ran out of road. Have you ever run out of road in your journey and not known where to go? not back, not yet, not you, not sure. What about us? Have a think about that for the moment. Have there been times when your guidance seems to have been negative guidance? We can't go back to where we were before, even though we'd like that. Oops. What have I done there? There we are. Have you had a not back? Have you had a not yet? Have you had a not you? Have you had a not sure? What about us? So one of the things I'd suggest you might do during the week is have another look at this particular chapter, Acts 16. It's only a paragraph, and yet it teaches us so much about how God's guidance can guide us in a way that says no. He doesn't always use guidance that says no, but sometimes he does. And you can imagine how depressed Paul and Silas got over this. They said, what on earth's happening here? We don't seem to be doing anything. We can't go any further. We've come to the end of the land. But where did it lead? Where did God's guidance suddenly kick in a different way? It led across the Aegean Sea. And it led to Philippi. And all over the place from there. But Philippi is where we're going to look in a minute. So now we continue our Bible reading. Thank you again for coming up. And there's only one funny name here as far as I could see, so that should make it a bit less odd for us. Over you go.
Acts chapter 16, verses 13-15. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. And in the same chapter, but at verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, so much that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us up publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us in prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left.
Thank you very much. That's a very long Bible account, isn't it? Just for an overnight situation in prison. It's possible that Luke might have been accompanying them at this time and he would have taken it all down. But it's a very big thing. But the key words on that, not just the fact that they had an important time in Philippi, but the key words are the last three. Then they left. In other words, they got where they were going, but they were going further. This time it was a journey into Europe, which they'd never intended, never even thought about, back in the far end of Turkey, but a journey into Europe. Because, as we heard read a little while ago, during the night, this was at Troas, of course, Paul had a vision of someone from Macedonia across the sea who was standing there and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The first time they heard something positive in terms of God's guidance. Do this. So what did they do? "We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the good news there." Notice those words, how they're put is very important. They didn't say they had a big flashing light, they had a dream, yes, quite. It wasn't an angel giving them a dream like we can look at elsewhere. It just concluded that God, they drew a conclusion. Not a guiding star, but a conclusion. Well, God must have called us to go and preach the good news there. And that overnight situation, that dream, led to how Christianity came to Europe in the first century. Now imagine if they'd gone east instead of west, or north, or south. Europe would have been so very, very different. But that is how Christianity came to Europe. So bienvenue en Europe, as they might say, welcome to Europe, or however you pronounce that in Greek. Dave would know how to do that. And they had their guidance at last, and the first stop that they came to was Philippi. That's a photograph of how Philippi is at the moment. Philippi, obviously, the old town is a kind of ancient ruins now, and it's got a lot of the old buildings there. But that's in the front of the photograph, and there's a hill behind it. But that was their first stop. But only their first stop, because you see, from there, Philippi at the top, When they said that they went all the way through Greece, down to Athens, and then across the strait to Corinth, and then back across southern Turkey to get back to Antioch sometime later. It was a long, long round trip, but Philippi was a very significant place to stop at. But the thing is, Philippi was rather a mixed experience. There were good things and there were bad things, and it's really weird when you think that reading, which is quite long, is actually longer than that, because you didn't read all the verses, there's some in between. But in a very short time, things happened at Philippi. The first thing they found was a very encouraging start with Lydia. She was a lady who essentially ran the Christian church in Lydia, which was made up of other ladies at the time, so a ladies' church. And interestingly enough, when you think about it, it says that Lydia came from Thyatira. So she hadn't been in Lydia all her life, but she'd grown up in Thyatira, which was in Western Turkey. Do you remember in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, you got the letters to the seven churches? One of them was Thyatira. So when they were passing through that very area, Paul and Silas, on their way to Troas, God didn't say, hold on a sec, why don't you plant a few churches here on the way because there's nothing else much happening? Because somebody else was going to plant all the churches around there, a big ring in Western Turkey. So God knew that they should be wandering right the way through until they came to the dead end of the sea. But they didn't realize that until now. And no doubt, I think Lydia would have said to them, yeah, I come from Thyatira. Oh yeah, we just went through where that was. And then later on that would happen. Isn't that interesting how God's guidance looks ahead quite a lot? But Lydia was an interesting start, because they found her worshipping near a river, and she asked them in to come and stay with her and so on. And it was a very encouraging start. So Paul and Silas thought, this is a great way to go ahead. Things are actually happening. But unfortunately, there was a persistent fortune teller interrupting what Paul and Silas were preaching day after day after day. And this persistent fortune teller actually was a slave employed by people making money out of her. And she was brought up before the magistrates because they said, these two people are making a lot of trouble around here. You've got to do something about it. And what happened, as you read in that reading, heard in that reading, Paul and Silas were severely flogged and thrown in prisons. Now, what kind of guidance is that? It was looking really good when they found Lydia and a Christian church worshipping by the river. And then for no reason and no fault of their own, they got put in prison. Have you heard the phrase or read the book Downhill All the Way? It must have started seeming like that to them. Oh, until they were freed by an earthquake. Well, it was nice to be freed by an earthquake, but can you imagine how Paul and Silas felt? They'd just been thrown into prison, their feet had been put into the stocks, and what do we have then? An earthquake. Is this going to be the end of it? Oh, actually, not quite, because it just released their feet from the chains and everything, so they could go. Oh, right, well, that's a bit strange. But it was a bit of a fright for the jailer, and the outcome of that was back to the positive again. The jailer was saved and baptized with his family. So it's back and forth and back and forth. And then number five is that they were freed, and that they were deliberately freed and sent on their way because the rulers of Philippi, thank you, didn't want them very much anymore. You're causing trouble. There's lots of stuff going on here. Just get out of the way and go on somewhere else. And then they left. So it was very up and down for them in Philippi. The guidance was positive and negative. And then they continued their journey, and what a journey it proved to be, giving Christianity to Europe. And it teaches us something very simple, but what we need to remember. The journey of guidance is not always an easy road. Through Turkey, it was a no road. You can't go there, you can't go here, you can't go there. In Philippi, it was a positive road, but there are all sorts of upsets in that short time in Philippi. So the journey of guidance, we should know, is not always an easy road, but it gets us where we need to be. We need to think ahead and think, well, God is going to guide us to end up somewhere, and he knows where, but we don't do now. So we've just got to accept the no's and the yes's and let him guide us. And that's a big message just from that one half of Paul's missionary journey. And I'm going to end with a slide that was Dave's last slide from last week. And again, it's a lovely emphasis of this. But now we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Amen.